Can he end the war in Gaza? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Nobody knows better than President Trump to reach a good deal, a reasonable deal for both sides. Both sides have to give up a little bit.
White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt as a meeting is about to start between the president and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, keeps waging war against Hamas, which keeps holding Israeli hostages.
The president wants to finalize a 21-point peace plan, which really centers around post-war stabilization to ensure that both sides are willing to stop fighting.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House.
This 21-point plan reportedly includes a hostage-prisoner exchange, a U.S.-backed Palestinian authority to temporarily govern Gaza, and Israel halting future strikes in Qatar.
Off the coast of Yemen, another ship hit by what may have been another missile fired by Iran-backed Houthi militants who've been attacking ships in and around the Red Sea since Israel started waging war in Gaza. Britain's military reports today's attack set that vessel on fire. Back to President Trump, and after that Netanyahu meeting, he's going to sit down with congressional leaders, including Democrats, trying to avert a government shutdown before tomorrow night's deadline. And Karoline Leavitt tells Fox,
this is a bill that keeps the government funded at the exact same levels as today, just adjusted for inflation. So there is zero good reason for the Democrats to vote against this.
Well, Democrats are pushing for provisions they say will prevent cuts to health care coverage for Americans. The search continues through the rubble of the burned down church a gunman attacked in Grand Blanc, Michigan, looking for people still unaccounted for. He drove through the front door, started shooting during Sunday services, killing at least four people and wounding eight. This man tells Fox he's lucky he made it out alive.
I felt some shrapnel hit my left leg, and then as I'm running to the door, bullet grazed or went past me, hit the door on the left side of me about a foot away.
That gunman was shot dead by police. America's listening to Fox News.
Heroes like Austin Reese have paid a high price for our freedom. Austin served three deployments to Iraq. He spent 13 years with the Navy Explosive Ordnance Disposal Unit and became a military freefall instructor. But in what was thought to be a routine jump, something went terribly wrong. Austin was left paralyzed. Tunnel to Towers built Austin a specially adapted smart home. Help heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Terry's Tiny Homes. Terry! Sure, as the only employee of her company, Terry was probably the front runner. But saving money getting personalized discounts with a commercial auto quote from Progressive, well, that gave Terry the edge. Over Terry.
Terry! Terry!
Keep
Terry,
awkwardly chanting your own Terry, name, Terry. You Terry. Deserve it.
Woo!
Be your own Terry. See if you could save in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Madeline Murray. Medical professionals from Omvita Health made their way to Arizona Western College Saturday to collaborate for the Research Transforming Communities Symposium. The symposium served the purpose of sharing insights and future goals to improve patient care and building a better community. The event primarily focused on behavioral health and family medicine, and with AWC serving as the host, the school hopes to further the healthcare pipeline between the school and Omvita. The Yuma Territorial Rotary Club hosted their first ever annual WashU tournament, and 100% of the proceeds raised from the tournament will go to the scholarships for graduating seniors who want to go to trade school. There were 32 teams signed up for the event hosted at Crazy Earl's in the foothills, and the winner of the tournament will take home $1,500. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
We're the comfort experts, people you can trust. Ask our customers, that's why they count on us. Over 50 years of service, keep us going strong. We've got a name you can depend upon. Hansberger Refrigeration.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle. or forget extra diapers. And never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never let them have too much screen time. And never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed. Never, ever become a minivan mom. And you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling boss, work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Sunny with highs in the 90s all week. 94 today, clear and 73 tonight, 96 tomorrow, 70 tomorrow night, and 96 on Wednesday, too.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Well, welcome to another edition of Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner. I have very special guests today. Thomas Sparks, he's attorney with our law firm. And Martine, he's generally behind the scenes editing and making sure that all the foolish things that we say don't make it out to the final cut. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple of things, AI and we see how all the experts predict that it's going to implement changes in society and in our lives. But I want to talk about what we've actually seen and what we anticipate living in the age of AI. So in the past year, Thomas, I'll let you go first. What have you seen different? What are your different behaviors based on AI? Like it, hate it, scared of it? What?
Yeah, well, let's paint the picture here, show you my journey through the last little bit. I won't go all the way back to Constantinople, but we'll get there.
All right.
Okay, so I didn't really do anything with AI before I joined the firm. That's a little more than a year and a half ago. And then Adam, the other partner attorney in the firm, was so into it. You know, I got curious and started, you know, looking into AI and all that stuff. So I've had a relatively short interaction, but I have to say I think I'm just jumping 2 feet in. I love it. I went from maybe just doing
You can't not be using it now because it's on your phone, right?
Sure.
It's in a Google search.
Right.
It'll automatically pop up an AI summary of what it thinks you're searching for and what the responses ought to be. And then it'll pull up the websites, which is what Google used to do before. It's just you'd search for something and it'd pull up websites. Now it's giving you an analysis right at the top of your search bar or the search results.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where I first started to notice, like, that's a really good feature. I like that. I don't even have to click the link anymore. It already did the research for me, gives me an answer. Most of the time, it's right. I haven't had very many times where AI has really gotten it wrong, which is good. I mean, I'm all for the automation. I want my life as easy as possible, and I want the answers as fast as I can get them so I can move on to the next thing, and AI is pretty darn good at that.
So I got a question for you, Martine. Have you ever been talking about something, not on the phone or in text or an email, just in a conversation, and then do a search or are looking through Instagram or Facebook and a product related to that conversation starts to be advertised to you?
Oh, all the time. You know, like that is truly one of those things where you know, you start realizing that they are listening to you.
They must be.
Mm-hmm. All the time, actually.
Have you had that happen too, Thomas? Yeah.
It's usually like suggestive ads.
Yeah.
I'll talk about something random and then an ad will pop
It'll
up.
Be, yes, in a conversation that you think's private. And then you start scrolling through, just looking at your TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, and ads on that product starts coming up. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then, like, I don't know if you've paid attention to it, but usually somewhere along the feed, it'll tell you, like, oh, this is based off of other products you viewed, like on Amazon. It'll say that to you, or it'll say like places you've interacted with. And I think that's just a little cover up to say that, you know, we were listening to you, but we're going to put it under the guise of you interacted with something similar to this.
Yeah. That's going to, I think, in the next congressional set of hearings, because, you know, the last one was that Facebook was intentionally trying to put out content that would get young people addicted and pay more, spend more screen time on their phones. And not only that, but it was also linking it up to like sex activities and pedophiles and things like that. And it was crazy that they would go into that, because it was something that was not only highly addictive, but suggestive to activities that, you know, were not even legal, let alone moral. So that was a big problem, and they said, okay, we're gonna work on that. We're gonna work on the algorithm. But now I think the next set of hearings is gonna be, why is our phone listening to us when we don't have it on, when we're not using it, or even when we are using it, but not specifically with that app? Well, how is that app getting that information?
Well, I don't know if you've experienced with it, but Hey Siri on our phones.
Uh-huh.
So that one was, I remember when that feature first came out, it was a huge deal, because people brought up the discussion of, well, when is it actually listening to you? Because it has to be listening 24/7 to understand that you're, you know, Hey Siri, and for it to pop up. I remember the discourse behind that was deciding, you know, should this feature even be a thing? Because it's going to require you to listen to it. And I personally feel that people just swept it under the carpet. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, I think that the convenience of having all the modern day technology has for now outweighed the fear of us giving up our privacy, and people have exchanged their privacy for that convenience.
Yeah, I think that's always been the sticking point, is, you know, those long privacy policies that you accept when you buy something that you don't read.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's all in there. Like, you're consenting to it. The question would be is, as the people and the government by representation, are we going to pass a law that says you're not allowed to consent to that anymore? Like, we're just going to say you can't consent to that.
Or it's got to be, and I could see them creating a law that it's got to be something that you've got to officially initial or sign. But today, we got DocuSign, and you're going through hundreds of pages of signatures if you're going to be buying a house or signing up for even opening up a new account. And those documents come to you through DocuSign, and you click, okay, do you want to go straight to the signatures? And you're like, yeah, I'm going to go straight to signatures because I want to open up this account. I trust this bank to as much as I can, and so I'm going to open up the account. They're not going to let me edit the small print, right? So my choices are, am I going to work with this bank or not? And then I'm just going to go straight to it and sign it. So I don't think there's anything that Congress can really do, even if they authorized or required additional authorization for those privacy things. Nobody's reading that stuff. And the more that gets put in there, I think the less it gets read, because I think somebody's less likely to read a 100-page contract than they are a 1-page contract.
Absolutely. And, like, you'd have to go so far as for them to say, it doesn't matter how many signatures you get, you cannot do that, or you can't use the data you collect by Siri listening in. It would be illegal. And then that's going to – and there's a double-edged sword to that. Like, you're going to inhibit I would say, like, the usefulness of the feature.
Yeah, the convenience of the feature, which we've opted into doing it. Because you can turn off Siri on your phone.
Yeah, I was going to say this point, but I think it's, you know, it's evolved way past even our phones now. You know, you got the Alexa in the house or the Google Dot or I have HomePods at my house. But then also, you know, some cars listen to you now.
Mm-hmm.
Like my cars recently have had either, you know, the Google built in, but I know some other like more premium brands have where you can just say like, hey, Mercedes, and it'll listen to you.
Yeah, yeah. My Tesla has Grok built into it.
Yep. Hit the mic button, ask a question, and it's there.
I guess whether it's worth it or not, we're here and we all use it. So we've all essentially consented just by what we're doing. How do you feel it's changed your everyday production, Martine? Has it made you more productive, or has it distracted you more from the things that you need to do a deep focus on?
I'll say it definitely has helped me. I think the number one thing that I really enjoy about AI is how fast it collects everything, because the more specific you are with your prompt, that's what it all boils down to, what your prompt was. Because you could say, find me, like I use it during school for one of my projects where I have to do research on a certain project. But when I put in the prompt, I put parameters of, you know, it has to be a scholarly article. It has to be published within the last 5 years. So the more you tell it and the more specific you are, the better result you're going to get. But also at the same time, you know, when AI hallucinates, if you don't have the common sense to actually check it, you're just submitting false information.
So you just used a word that I'm not familiar with, hallucinating AI.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
So what does that mean?
It just messed up. And that's the guy.
It just filled in a blank that it didn't find legitimate information for, so it just made up information?
To my understanding, yeah, because I know a lot of people say that AI will pull, I mean, in AWC, the one of the main issues is people who use AI who are trying to, you know, get away with it and have it do its papers. AI will sort or will cite sources that don't exist. It'll make up something to prove itself. You didn't know that?
Yeah,
I didn't. I guess I it doesn't surprise me,
mm-hmm.
but it is it's even another reason to be concerned.
Right.
But there's so many things to be concerned about that it's like, I'll never sleep at night if I start going over each one of them.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. I did hear a story about that, actually, about an attorney who used AI to prep a legal brief. It was for litigation.
Yes. I heard about that, but I thought that was an anomaly. I didn't think that was like commonplace. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The amount of times I've used AI, I haven't seen, like in my checking, my double checking, I haven't had AI hallucinate on me personally yet.
Have you even heard that term before just now?
Yeah, I have. I've heard that term because, like, you know, hallucinating, you see something that's not actually there. That's what AI is doing, is it's seeing a source that's not really there, but it makes sense, so it inputs it.
Wow.
It's filling a gap, right? And so you do have to be careful, but I'm with Martine. Like, just how fast it can do, like, the mundane things that I can do, but I don't want to do. Like, for example, if I'm preparing, like, a talk at church, or if I'm mm-hmm. doing this, I like formulating my own ideas. Like, I always tell, you know, someone who says, oh, you shouldn't use AI for church or anything like that. I say, well, I use intelligence for, mm-hmm. you know, the ideas, but I use artificial intelligence to help me put together a format. Like, that's just going to take time that I don't want to take. So I have all my ideas. I can put it in and say, help me organize this in a way, in an order that makes sense. And now I've eliminated hours of work.
So you've talked about church and lessons and talks that you give. So I want to kind of go around and around, Robin, and mm-hmm. talk about some useful things that we've found that maybe we didn't even anticipate that this would be useful, but now we've found it's so powerful that, it saves a lot of time. Mm-hmm. For me, it's about every 6 months that I'm looking for a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Not for my personal car, but, you know, I've got kids, I've got a wife, and so the car issues come up a lot. And so I will ask AI, hey, is this a good car, or compare this car to that car? And it'll pull up all of the Kelley Blue Book information on it. It'll pull up the private party resale value. It'll pull up the retailer's value on it. It'll tell you what the common complaints are from Reddit or other sources, some from cars.com forums and things. Mm-hmm. And so it's an immense amount of information, research that would have taken me hours upon hours to compare these two cars. And it's pretty nice. And then I'll say, find me a car like this. Once it's whittled down what version I like better, then I'll say, find me a car. And so it'll start pulling them up on the different, it'll pull it up on Facebook, it'll pull it up on Car Gurus, it'll pull it up on Carvana. Mm-hmm. So all these different apps, and there's my cars now that I can look at to buy. So that was something unexpected. I didn't think that would be what AI would be trained to do, but it's been convenient. Hey, Martin, what about you?
Well, this one, I don't know how you guys would feel about it, but I had one of my friends come up to me who, you know, thankfully, bless them, they have not had to pay taxes yet, ever, because they've worked part-time. Okay. And so they make under that threshold, but this year something changed where when they were working, they kept their, tax-exempt status. Mm-hmm. So I was telling them, I'm like, hey, like, enjoy the money you're making now, but when the IRS comes knocking, you better answer that door, because mm-hmm. they'll open it no matter what. And so what she and I did was we got AI, we put in a rough estimate, you know, she's going to make, what, $30,000 a year maybe, but she's been tax exempt this whole year, about how much, giving a ballpark, because AI loves to backtrack saying, oh, this is, don't trust this information, you get it verified by a professional, you know, it always likes to put in that guideline so it removes liability from itself, but it gave her a breakdown of, you know, are you a student, are you a dependent, do you have any people that you could claim as a dependent? And the more that we told information, it was saying, oh, well, you're looking about paying about $2,000 in taxes if you don't change what you're doing now. So, I mean, you know, I'm 20 years old and I'm no tax professional, but being able to compile that information for her, like, was super useful.
Yeah.
We would have never known.
Thomas, what's your feature that's come up and that, other than the talks and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, that has been either a daily or something that you've used that's made your life better, I think? That in an unexpected way.
Mm-hmm. Unexpected way. I love one of my hobbies. I just love knowing what different groups of people, what their points of view are in different subjects. Like one of my good friends growing up, he's a Catholic priest. So we're always having religious conversations. So that's an example I'll use for this is if I want to find out, hey, what's the thought from this group of people on this subject, whether it be religious or economic, like economic policy through history.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to go and pull out, you know, a bunch of volumes of different book series. I can say, I want to know what was the prevailing idea of economics in the Roman Empire this century. And then I'll get a bunch of scholars that say, oh, well, here's my thoughts. Here's the historical data on it.
But you don't have to read through their whole essay because mm-hmm. the AI will compile it.
Yeah, it'll give
put together an analysis for you.
Yeah, it'll give me chapter and verse, essentially, of like what I'm looking for. So what previously would have taken me potentially, you know, many hours, days, weeks to really find out, I can find out in minutes at this point.
Attorneys, we get paid for knowledge, and that's really our bread and butter. Unless you're going into court and you're litigating and making an argument, which is actually pretty darn rare, even for litigation attorneys. Most of it is done by compiling a bunch of data to determine how much a claim is worth and putting it together in a brief and shooting it over to the other side's attorney and saying, hey, this is the information I've got on you, and this is what's going to happen in court. This is our predictor. And let's settle this before we spend a bunch more time and money on it. But all of that is being condensed down and being done significantly faster through AI. So attorneys, I think, are one of those that are holding their breath that their job will exist in 10 years. And I know that Adam, he doesn't think it will unless we adapt and find what is the critical human component that exists there still, and then adapt and implement AI to all the points that can be, and then focus on that human component that can't be, and totally modify how we practice law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversation on life, death, and the law, right after this.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day.
our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help heal veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snugtop shells and lids. Snugtop, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snugtop. Truckmates is also the home of expert spray and bed liners, spraying mil-spec protective coatings, committed to unwavering excellence and unparalleled customer service. Expert liners, with available national warranty coverage and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. Truckmates is also the home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road trucks and Jeep enthusiasts. And don't forget 3M window tinting, the originators of window tinting, with nationwide lifetime warranty at Truckmates. That's expert spray and bed liners, BDS suspensions, 3M window tinting, and Snug Top, all at Truckmates. 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
El Dorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Eddie's Food and Drink, CNS Signs, Bang Auto Glass, Mary Kay and Nancy Sabalos, and MB Flooring LLC. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria at yumachamber.org. That's Valeria at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason Garner and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best since 2014.
A lot of our clients are not, because our clients, you know, for estate planning are typically 70-year-old retired individual, and they don't want to learn something new. They don't want to jump into technology right off the bat, but it's not going to be, you know, in 10 years, I think that is just going to be commonplace. Just like you wouldn't see somebody 10 years ago using a smartphone, but now you don't see anybody not using a smartphone. And so I think it's going to creep into it. We use AI a dozen times a day in this law firm, and we're unapologetic about doing it. In fact, I think, and I preach to the staff a lot, if you're not using AI to help you draft, to help you even compose your emails or review your emails to make sure that it's going through and it's consistent in its phraseology and in its grammar, then you're not doing what you should. You're not doing your due diligence. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's changing the way that law will be practiced. I don't know if I see us being extinct in 10 years, maybe 11, maybe. But yeah. 10,
we're good.
10, I think we're okay. What do you think, Martin?
Well, I have this conversation with Adam a lot because, you know, Adam's always finding out whatever's new in AI. Like, I feel like Adam truly is, he has his finger on the pulse of AI because almost every time I come down, it's something new. But what was a huge talking point for me and him was when he was showing me what HeyGen does. Mm-hmm. And the way that, you know, you can create almost a deep fake of somebody. And I remember telling him that AI is going to be, the huge battle with AI is going to be who can sort out the misinformation.
Right.
Because, and especially like with Notebook LM, where you can make a podcast, you know, what's to say that, you know, some individual gains popularity and then starts using this AI to push a certain agenda or of anything, you know, it could be anybody, but just because they have that initial credibility that they've built up, like people wouldn't be the wiser or wouldn't care enough to actually review what they're saying and just follow through with it. I think that's what the issue is going to be of how do we, you know, fight misinformation, because even as humans, we still can't fight it. You know, we can't stop someone else from spreading lies.
Right. And right now, celebrity endorsements is a big deal. Like, if you can get a celebrity to endorse, right, we have Dave Ramsey, mm-hmm. that endorses our estate planning office and the idea of getting your estate plan together. Even though he sells his own estate planning packet, he encourages his audience here in Yuma that if they don't have their estate plan together, come over and see his good friends, Sean and Adam, and get their estate plan put together. And what you could do is you could create a deep fake of Dave Ramsey or whoever else, right? You could create a deep fake of Donald Trump and say, you know, I endorse Sean and Adam. And I guess if you want to be more realistic about it, you'd have somebody that is lesser known, or I guess not as hard to get a hold of as Donald Trump. Maybe, I don't know, I'm going to just pull out a name here. The mayor, right?
Yeah, Mayor of Yuma.
Yeah, the mayor of Yuma. You make a deep fake of him and then say, this is the law firm I go to because I trust them. And if he brings a lawsuit saying, no, I didn't say that, you guys are using my name and image without my consent, well, you could have a video of him saying, well, yes, of course you consented. Look, we've got a contract here. We've got your signature here. Because his signature is all over the place, right? It's on ordinances that have been signed out there. And so it's like, how would the court even figure out who's lying and who's not? And maybe even he gets confused and go, well, maybe I did, because people start to misremember things.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. And I could see that as a concern. Who was it that, it was the guy that does Dirty Jobs. What is his name?
Mike.
Yeah. Mike Rowe. Mm-hmm. So Mike Rowe, he was talking about deep fakes with an individual on his podcast, and they showed him something that he supposedly said about Deadliest Catch when he was on that show. And he was like, okay. And they're like, well, what do you think about that? And he's like, well, I guess I just spoke off the cuff. You know, it's not really consistent with what I'd normally say, but I mean, I've said it. Apparently, you've shown me it, and then they told him that was a fake. We actually created that, like, and you didn't even recognize your own voice and your own image that wasn't you saying it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Oh my gosh, so I didn't say that." And they're like, "Right, you didn't." He's like, "Well, I thought there was something off about it, but I couldn't put my finger on it."
Yeah,
and they're like, "Well, that's the thing. It's like, who's to say what's true anymore? Mm-hmm. That's so scary."
Yeah, deepfakes would be a big problem, I think, for multiple reasons. I remember, was it last year, some random product used Tom Hanks's voice, like they deepfaked it. It was a company outside the U.S., but, you know, he didn't really know who they were, didn't want to lawyer up or anything, so I remember he tweeted out just a PSA saying, hey, this is not me, I don't use the product, and we're working to see what we can do about it, but... Yeah, at what point do you have a right to your own voice? What right to your likeness do you have? And that's a big, I think, court case coming down the pipeline about...
But it's not like the courts have a monopoly on truth, mm-hmm. right? The truth to them is what evidence is presented.
Right.
And you can manufacture evidence, sure, with this AI.
Yeah, manufacturing evidence, yeah, that's even worse. But even if you don't manufacture evidence, just having the argument about what should be allowed as art, so to speak, and what shouldn't be allowed would be something else. That's I don't envy, you know, the attorneys who are arguing that.
Yeah. Well, another thing is the practice of law, the actual, you know, sitting in front of a client and finding out what their needs are, what their issues are with their family, what they would want to accomplish in the long run. A lot of times clients come in and they don't have the answers. They don't even know the questions to ask. And that's, I think, the human element that we've been discussing this entire time that is going to continue to exist at least for hopefully another 10 years. That's what we provide. And we have been using more and more technology. I've been doing this business for the past 15 years. And at first, it was a database that would allow you to collect different provisions and put together a trust by just going through and grabbing provisions and putting them together. And it then got smarter, and you could just click a button and all those provisions would line up. And now we've got an online that is AI powered where we put in the scenarios and we say, this is this scenario, and we know what it needs to look like, and then the trust gets spit out and we review it before we have the client sign it. But it's, we become much more efficient, and I think that now trusts are much more available for the general public because they don't take me 10 hours to write, and therefore I don't have to charge thousands and thousands of dollars for them to have me prepare them. But it's getting that the machine is doing much more of the work than I am, and a greater portion of the population is benefiting from it. I fear the day that they'll benefit from it when they don't need me, because right. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to need to learn how to, you know, do plumbing or be an electrician or something else.
Sure. Yeah. I think in my mind, what saves like the human element is somebody has to take responsibility. The buck can't be passed to AI. So like right now, AI, like Martine brought up, has that caveat, oh, go talk to a tax professional, like don't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like at the end of the day, that's who we are, is like we can use AI if we want to, but AI is not going to get the malpractice suit if we mess up, it's us. And I feel like even if AI got really good, somebody wants their pound of flesh, they got to have someone they can go to get that. And I think that's where you can't quite replace it, unless the companies who are using or are generating AI want to pony up. And
yeah, and of course, anybody that has gotten misinformation from Google,
mm-hmm,
and attempted to sue Google because of the liability that caused them, good luck, right?
Yeah, good luck
even today. And it's only getting bigger and more distant away from the everyday person. Each day that another company with AI is created. I find it odd that AI can create an image, can create a painting, can create even a video with my voice and my image, and but it doesn't put together a document and format it very well in Word. And now, I just learned about one today, and literally after this recording, I'm going to have a demonstration that is being hopefully presented by a human being,
yeah,
about how to use their product. But it says that you can be in your Word document, and especially with legal documents, they've got a lot of formatting issues. You know, the page numbering is formatted into different sections and different chapters and so on and so forth, and you've got a lot of indentions, and so when I get the information that I like and I hone it down to the language, a lot of times the AI prompt is going to help me get to the language generally, and then I will massage it a little bit to get it to exactly what I want to say. When I paste it in to my trust, the formatting is way off, and that takes more time to reformat it oftentimes than if I would have just sometimes just written it in there in the correct format in the first place. Mm. So isn't that a weird thing, though? You would think that the computers would start with themselves, right? And the formatting and saying, okay, take a look at this Word document. Now take a look at this and make this document that you've just created look like this Word document in the same format. And most of the times I ask, most AI agents, they can't do it.
Yeah, I think.
Have you found the same thing?
Yeah, I have. I think AI, it's like I said, it's not intelligence, it's artificial intelligence. It lacks common sense. And I think that's very human. Like, for example, the example you used with the Tesla and replacing a tire, right? So, like, the Tesla's a beautiful, you know, a well-crafted machine. It's got so much tech in it, but heaven forbid you replace the tire and the TPMS sensor isn't set.
Mm-hmm.
It'll think that you're about to just go off of a cliff. It'll give you all these warnings, and all that's wrong is that you changed your tire, and
right,
it hasn't recognized you've changed a tire yet.
Right.
Anybody, you know, with common sense would be like, that's fine. The sensor's going to go off in a second. I just replaced the tire,
mm-hmm,
but it can't do that. Just like PDF to Word is just like, I can't comprehend taking something out of PDF format and putting it into Word format. I think that's weird. But that's also job security in a way.
Yeah.
It's like AI doesn't have any common sense.
Yeah. Hopefully this program is going to help out a little bit with the formatting, because I'm working with Word documents all the time,
mm-hmm,
and the formatting takes up a bulk of my time now.
Right.
Because I know the legal issues, and I'm well established in putting those together, and now it's just like the final product. Okay, we got to work and get this looking right, and that's a big deal. Martine, what's surprised you about where AI has lacked?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversation on life, death, and the law, right after this.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science.
Raised the funds.
Shifted the narrative.
And transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together.
Established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Glock days are coming to Yuma. Saturday, October 4th at Firearms Unknown. Now is the time to get that personal protection perfection that you've been waiting for. Special pricing on Glock handguns at prices too low to advertise. Grab a coffee from the coffee hub and stick around for the big raffle. Spin the prize wheel with every purchase and win your free swag or a free cup of coffee. It's Glock days at Firearms Unknown. Get your Glock perfection. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street or firearmsunknown.com.
Time is precious. Tens of thousands of people with incurable breast cancer must wait 29 months for federal financial assistance and health coverage. Many won't live that long. They need help now. In less than 30 seconds, you can improve their quality of life. Text the word WAITING to 40649 or go to coleman.org/waiting to send a message to Congress. Tell lawmakers that time is running out for people with terminal breast cancer.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best since 2014.
It doesn't like to be corrected. And I have two scenarios with this. And I know it's probably like weird saying like, oh, you're correcting AI. But one time I was doing this math problem and I just couldn't understand it. Like I had it written out in front of me. I had looked at the help scenarios and I just didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And more specifically, it's not that I didn't understand the theorem behind it. I just didn't understand how the answer that was correct because I had done it. I got it wrong. I submitted it to AI. AI had gotten it wrong. And then I had found it in some Reddit and all of those answers were wrong. And so when I told AI like, hey, so this came back wrong. And it was like, well, it can be wrong. And it spits back to me that same like step one, step two, like all the way down to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I told it like, well, it got graded as incorrect. What did you do like wrong? And I like to talk to my AI as if it were a person.
Yeah.
I hope that one day during the revolution it says like, you saw me when I was nobody. So yeah. You will be spared.
Yeah. Yeah, spare you.
You were polite to me. You asked please.
I do, yeah. I even tell my AI, good morning. I hope it's been a good day for you.
Uh-huh.
Just to, you know, save myself. But whenever I tell it was wrong, it almost shuts out the possibility for anything else because it'll just repeat itself. It'll repeat itself and when it's... I guess when it's stuck in its
place. Which program were you using?
I use ChatGPT and then I use Chegg. It's like a study service, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Chegg is that's an old study help program. Predates AI, actually.
Yeah.
You could pay for people to help you like finish your homework on Chegg back in the day.
All the unemployed teachers go on there. And they'll respond to the answers. And I've used it since, like, middle school, I think. So, and I think, you know, my family's used it before me, but...
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
Chegg.
Yeah, Chegg. And then there's also another one for math. It was Wolfram Alpha.
You have to pay
Alpha.
For it?
So technically, yes, you do have to pay for it. But if you know how to work around, you can get a couple of answers for free. Because most of the time, it'll show you an actual photo with it worked out, which is why I like it. My math lab, I don't know if you remember that. My math lab is
math lab. I didn't see that. Wolfram Alpha was the one we would use. It was the program. You could put an equation. It would give you the step-by-step solving scenarios. Mm-hmm. which I guess was the early forms of what we have today, like 10 years ago.
Yeah. And it's interesting going back, you know, with the homework thing. Sometimes it's wrong. Okay, so you've got to know that. And that's why I think it's helpful, just like a calculator is helpful or an Excel spreadsheet is helpful, or even a tire gauge is helpful. Like, you can use a tire gauge, and it can say, you know, it's got 50 pounds of pressure, but you look at it, and the tire's flat. It's like, okay, well, that's not working. Right. You know, you got to, you use your, I guess, sensors as well to determine what's right and wrong. And so with Excel, it's the same thing. You know about what the calculation should be, and you put in the formulas, and it spits out something, and you're like, okay, that's way off. If you understand the steps that Excel is going through and how it's acquiring the information, which in Excel or even Google Sheets, it's very, very easy to identify each of those steps, each cell that it's pulling from, and whether it's multiplying it or dividing it or doing whatever. With AI, it's not easy. You don't know how it's coming about that information. And so it's really hard to say, okay, if I don't know what it should look like, and it comes up with some number, I don't know if I'm going to be like looked at as a town idiot when I come up with this number, because I am the town idiot because I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I've relied on this AI application to come up with this. But at the same time, my 12-year-old, he's coming home, and he's at that point where he's getting into the homework with math, that it's not like, oh, this is what you do and this is what you do. It's like, I vaguely remember that, but let's check this out online. And he's like, no, you can't put it into AI. My teacher told me if we ever do that, we'll fail. And I'm like, I'm just going there to like refresh my memory, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like a witness on the stand. Like, would it help if you looked at your notes to recall what you said on day and day? Yes, it would help if I looked at my notes. Yeah,
refresh the recollection.
Yeah, and so it's like, I think I know it, but I just want to confirm this step that I'm actually like, do I flip the fraction upside down before I multiply, or how do I do that?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm just going to go over in the corner, and I'm just going to refresh my memory on this, and then I'll come back to you. And is Dad helping you with your homework still okay at school? Well, yeah, that's okay. All right, well, Dad needs help first.
Yeah. So. There's no rule about whose dad tutor is, you know. So that brings me, like, a memory of, like, when I was at field camp for geology when I was in my undergraduate. Like, we had a notoriously, like, difficult professor. And, like, the last thing you do in geology degree is go on a field camp. It's 5 weeks of camping and measuring rocks and mountain hiking in the mountains, stuff like that. And there was an alternative field camp you could go to, and it was, and most universities kind of do this now, they use GPS data to, you know, find what the rocks are doing, and they can map things that way. You can just point your laser at a mountain range, don't even have to be very close to it. But the professor I had, you know, bless his heart, we were hiking the mountains. It's like, you don't know geology until you put compass to mountain and, like, do it the old analog way. And we did. Mm-hmm. And I was much better for it, because now if I was to continue in that field, like, I know how to do it by hand. And
yeah.
I can. So if I use GPS data now, it's okay.
Right. Because you understand what the procedure is and what the right answer should look like.
Right.
So when it's not correct and there needs to be some adjustments, you can spot those.
Right.
And that's why I still think it's important, you know, to learn handwriting and to learn, you know, where the letters are and what sounds they make, and then go ahead and read in a book and read it out loud and have somebody listen to you and take each of those steps, learn math by adding, you know, 1 + 1 and then multiplications and understanding that before you just ask AI what the answer is to all of it. Because if you don't know that, then you can't possibly ask the more complex questions. And that's, again, the human factor of what we get paid for as attorneys, is when somebody comes in and says they want to get their estate plan done, we start asking questions that when they say, I haven't thought of that, that is my reassurance that I'm still valuable.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, that's why I'm here, is to help you think of that and help you walk through the steps of what you actually want to accomplish because of an event that could occur, that we see occur, that you hadn't thought of. And had you not thought of that to ask the computer, it wouldn't tell you the answer because it wasn't asked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the common things that I hear in a consult is like, well, I looked it up online and it said I needed this. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in getting this, whether that be a trust, or maybe I want an irrevocable trust, or I need, all these different things. And that's one of the valuable things we can add, is like, that could work, but there's a much simpler way to do it. Instead of spending hours and hours and thousands of dollars on this super complex plan, we could just do it this way and it'd be much more simple. Like, let's say use beneficiary deeds instead mm-hmm. of all this wild stuff they don't need.
Right. And another thing that we have to explain to our clients often is there's the law, what's actually written in the statutes, and then there's the interpretation of the law that the judges get to do when mm-hmm. those statutes are questioned, or they're maybe not as clear as it could be in a given set of circumstances. And then there's what the banks will accept and, real estate underwriters, what am I looking for here? Title insurance, mm-hmm. what they'll accept, what the DMV will accept to transfer title. And so just because it's technically right doesn't mean it's going to work.
Right.
And just because it conforms with the statute doesn't mean there's not case law out there that has interpreted it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very important so far in getting things done. And I think that I can imagine that AI will get closer and closer to that. We see it evolving every single day. Every day I hear of a new AI innovation that's come up. And but currently, we help put together plans that allow people to actually transfer their assets and their wealth to their next generation or their beneficiaries, whoever they designate, in a way that will work and conforms to the law. So we help those two combine together. Another thing that is an issue is just the credibility of the request. For example, a client can go to the bank and say, hey, I'm the beneficiary, and under the statute, I'm my father's beneficiary, I'm his only child, and he passed away, and under the statute, currently right now, I can receive $200,000 without filing a probate. So if you go to an account that's got less than $200,000 in it, all you've got to do is fill out an affidavit that he's your dad, you're his only beneficiary, and under the statute, that's good enough. But the bank's going to say, you know what, for $200,000, I don't care. You're going to have to lawyer up.
I want letters of testamentary.
Yeah, I want to see it on letterhead. I want to see it, or a court. I want to see a court issue an order, because it may. And you can print out the statute for me if you want to, but I'm not going to give you this $200,000 account, even though the law says it. And so then coming in with a reputation and something to lose and malpractice insurance to go back on if we're wrong, and saying, yes, bank, this is the law, this is the actual beneficiary, here is the evidence that they provided me, we're writing it in an affidavit, that gives them the warm fuzzy that they need to go ahead and transfer that account over. And another issue that I think a lot of people really face the harsh reality with is a trust only works if you retitle all the assets into the trust or update the beneficiaries. And if you retitle an asset incorrectly, there's significant repercussions. For example, what would happen if, Tom, you ChatGPT to have a trust drafted, and then it creates the Tom Sparks Living Trust, and then you said, okay, I'm going to transfer my assets in the trust. You can take your 401k, which this firm very generously provides.
Right.
And you move that over and transfer the title of the 401k into your trust.
Yeah, I'm going to have a massive taxable event for withdrawing that money early.
Yeah, so you're going to get penalized 10% automatically
mm-hmm.
for taking the money out. you're going to also be owing the tax on all the money that came out, mm-hmm. and perhaps only a certain amount vested prior to you doing that. And if you withdraw prior to the time frame in which it vested, then now you've lost the employer contributions for that. So when we do seminars, we do live seminars as well as online, and we tell people, you can go and get it done online, you can go and get it done by a document preparer, but when it comes to actually transferring the title of your assets, the title of your house, how confident are you that that document is actually going to work when it needs to work? And if I've gotten it wrong, I've got this building here that I'm well established in town, I've got this reputation that I want to uphold, I've got this malpractice insurance that you can come file a claim against if I do it incorrectly. However, if the computer's got it wrong, yeah, good luck getting that company to pony up the cash.
Good luck suing Google. Yeah, we talk about it all the time in our seminars. There's times for bargain shopping and there's times for not bargain shopping, you know, with parachutes, for example. If I go skydiving, I'm not getting my parachute from the Goodwill, because once I jump out of the plane and I
pull that cord. Or even from what's your favorite place to shop online? Temu?
Yeah, Temu. Yeah, yeah.
Would you buy a parachute from Temu?
That's right. You pull that rip card out and, you know, there's a couple stitches missing and there goes the hole. You can't take that decision back. And that's what, you know, estate planning documents are the same kind of same thing, is once you pass away, you're gone. You can't change it. So it better work, or else you might as well have not done anything.
Well, good show. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. By popular demand, myself and Martine are back. We thank the people of Yuma for screaming so loudly.
You did this.
Yeah. Thanks, Yuma.
That's a wrap. Yay. Thanks, Martine.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed on this episode, call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yuma.law.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
Pass it on. This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good. Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.